There's an old expression, and it's one that I can't really use on Christian radio, but maybe I, well, okay, maybe I can. You take the word assume, and if you break it down into out of you and me if you do assumptions the wrong way. But let's face it, everybody does. Everybody makes assumptions about just about everything. And unfortunately, one of the biggest assumptions that we make, too, is, and all of my assumptions are correct. Dr. Dave Richardson is going to lay all those myths to rest today. He's the president of the Assumptions Institute, which is a fascinating, it's really a fascinating, necessary, vital organization here in the American educational and religious landscape, too. He's written a book called Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. Dr. Dave Richardson, welcome to the Bottom Line Show.
Thanks, Roger. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I'm grateful that we had this moment, and as I was sharing with you before we went on the air here, I really do feel that this time was divinely ordained based on the fact that you and I just missed crossing paths last year at the Christian Retail Show, and then I circled back around and had a chance to hear one of your interviews and say, wow, I've got to get this guy on the air because what he's talking about is so very, very important. Let's not assume, huh, that our listeners know exactly what we're talking about, but give us just a basic overview. When we talk about these assumptions, why was this study so important for you to get into right now?
Well, I have been working in full-time ministry for over 30 years. Much of it with CREW, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. Mm-hmm. And I worked most of my career with CREW with their faculty ministry. Believe it or not, they have a ministry to college professors, and that has been my focus for well over 20 years, is working with university faculty. And one of the things that I've been trying to do is not only get them to talk about their faith with their students and their coworkers, but actually to help them teach the truth in their classes in a major state university. And they will get the first part quite well, but the second part, teaching the truth in their teaching in their classes and research, that part was much more difficult. I'd get blank stares and funny looks, and they'd ask me, well, what does God have to do with a chemical equation?
Yeah.
You know, chemistry's not in the Bible, so how do you talk about those kind of things in a way that works in a major university? And I'd been searching for an answer to that question for a long time, and one day I was talking with an old friend who's the former president of the King's College in New York City, and he dropped a suggestion in my lap and thought that if somebody could figure it out, it would probably be me, and he thought, well, I think that assumptions are the key to unlocking the soft underbelly of the university. That most of the ideas that are taught in the classroom are actually built on false assumptions that aren't true, don't work, and don't match the actual world that we see, know, and experience. And if I could figure out a way to get at those, we could actually undermine the false stuff and establish a beachhead for the truth back in the university.
Mm.
And I thought, well, that would be an interesting challenge to
go after.
And so I spent 5 years working on that project.
It's incredible to think about something that large and that vast. And yet, as you're describing this, Dr. Dave Richardson, I realize that how much time we spend in the culture right now as Christians, whether it's on pastoral ministry front, whether it's just parents trying to help their kids stay educated, even the students themselves, many of whom that your faculty are working with, who are trying to put out all these little fires. You know, did the president say something wrong in a tweet? And why should we not trust him? And what about terrorism? All these different things. But then beginning to realize that a lot of the larger major issues are based on things that we all knew at one point, or maybe we didn't all know, but we all thought we knew. And now we realize that everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes, and so they're basing a lot of their decisions on these horrible assumptions. How in the world were you able to boil it down, you know, to get to the point where you could actually put it in a book or talk to people about it?
Well, it comes from getting into apologetics when I was a college student trying to share my faith with my best friend. And over the last 35 or so years, I have never quit reading.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually got a couple of postgraduate degrees along the way, you know, got a seminary degree and then another one in applied theology from Oxford University that helps me have the conversations with college professors that were part of my ministry. So, you know, I've got that kind of background, even though, you know, you don't see me out there as a professional apologist. I've been doing it since I was 19 years old. However, I'm also a bit of a problem solver and looking for creative solutions to problems that people haven't been able to deal with before. And so trying to unlock this difficult problem of how do we bring truth based on God and the Bible back into education in a way that's relevant, appropriate, and works is something that I've been very, very interested in for a long time. And finally, when I figured out not only how assumptions work in general, but the specific ones that people make, and I actually came up with a practical tool to detect them, that was the key to solving that problem. And I've gone back to the same professors I've worked with for years, and they've actually been able to change their classes and teach the truth the way that they've wanted to.
That's amazing.
But I also discovered that this also works for parents and for students. Mm-hmm. I could actually show this this little technique to a middle schooler in less than an hour, and they could actually use it to see through the messages in academia, the media, and culture, and do it literally in 30 seconds.
Dr. Dave Richardson, my guest today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. The book is called Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. We've got a link up for the book at thebottomlineshow.com. Let's get down to where I think a lot of us need to begin on this conversation. We see what's happening in the culture right now. We see a lot of parents of Christian kids who grow up in the church, they go off to college, and then something happens in academia, and all of a sudden, now they not only don't want to go to church, they don't really even believe in God anymore. The statistic that we hear, 75%, is that an accurate statistic?
That's pretty accurate. There's some surveys that say it's somewhere around 60. There's some that say it's as upwards of 85%. So it's somewhere right in that range. Regardless of what the number is, it's not a good one.
Mm-hmm. Where is this coming from? I mean, obviously, we can't talk to every college student. We can't talk to every member of the faculty. You have a chance to kind of see the larger picture. Where are we getting this information from?
As far as the statistic is concerned?
Yes, as far as the statistic.
It's something that the Barna Research Group has been tracking for some time.
Okay.
And so that's it originates back in the early 2000s is when a lot of the formal studies on this phenomenon first started coming up. But there's other organizations that have done it. America's Research Group has done a survey. There's a number of others that have done.
Okay, so we've got students who are being, you know, kind of led away from their faith. You've got faculty who, I have no doubt that there's a sincerity level when it comes to faculty, people who are very well-meaning and believe that there is no God, you know, there is no moral absolute, that type of thing. And yet, one of the things that you point out in your book, Transparent, is, hey, even atheists have a belief system. Talk about that.
Yes. Well, every person has a basic core assumption at the bottom of their reasoning process because nobody's omniscient. If you were, you'd be God, of course.
Right. Yes.
But since none of us are, when you reach the ragged edge of what you know and what you don't know, you end up having to assume something. So it's not a matter of if you assume, it's how you assume and whether your assumptions are true.
Mm-hmm.
And can you actually get at those things? Because they're like the autopilot in the back of your brain that controls everything you say, do, and think.
Right, right.
When it comes to atheists, they start with a core assumption. The classic one that you see is all there is the natural material world. That's all that exists. It's just a physical-only existence. So if that's true, where did that world come from? Well, it came from natural laws. Natural laws just created a universe. How does it run? Natural laws run the universe. It's heading towards annihilation and death. Human beings are nothing more than highly evolved animals who decide knowledge for themselves, decide what is right and what's good. And the problem with the world is religious people, because they believe in fairy tales. They believe in non-physical things like spirits and gods and all that kind of thing that, for a naturalist, that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And that literally is a statement of faith.
I'm talking with Dr.
You start with the core assumption, and those are the kinds of conclusions you come up with.
I'm talking with Dr. David Richardson today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. The book is called Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. We have a link up for the book at thebottomlineshow.com. Let's talk about those core assumptions. I mean, how do we, because we all have core assumptions. I mean, I for those who are of the Christian faith, I'm sure we all want to sit there and kind of kick the tires a little bit and make sure that our assumptions are actually based on truth as opposed to, you know, you've got some of us a little bit nervous here, Dave. Go ahead and let's talk about these core assumptions and the way you kind of test this out.
Well, sure. There's a device in the book that is called the critical assumptions test that I explain what assumptions are, how they work, and how to figure out which ones are operating in the background, not only in our own heads, but also in the things that we read, like books and web pages, things we watch, like television shows and movies, mm-hmm. or the things we listen to, like a conversation with a friend, a lecture in a classroom, or something on the radio, like people listening now. Can you tell whether the message is true? Most people have a difficult time getting through a complex issue. But if you can get the simple assumptions underneath it, if the assumptions are true, probably what you're being told is true. But if the assumptions are false, anything built on those assumptions are false. Even if you don't understand what the complex idea is, if it's built on false assumptions, you know not to buy it. You may need to know it for the test, mm-hmm. but don't buy the idea. And so this helps students learn critically. The basic assumptions that we make, there's either a physical only reality, a non-physical only reality, or there are two realities. Physical and non-physical things are both real, but the thing they have in common is that they are created. There are created bodies, there are created spirits, but they all comprise a created reality, and then there's a separate one, one that's distinct from those from the other things, and that is the creator. We know that God is not the universe, and the universe is not God. There's not an equal sign between them. You can mm-hmm. tell them apart.
Yeah.
And so if God is distinct from the universe, then there are two realities that exist in parallel and in relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the cool thing about assumptions, these core assumptions, is that they're mutually exclusive. What that means is the moment you buy one, you exclude the other two.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a physical-only reality, then non-physical things that the other two believe exist are off the table. Or if you think everything is ultimately non-physical, then people that think that physical things are real are off the table. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when you're having a conversation with somebody and you're saying something that's perfectly obvious, perfectly persuasive, of course this person will understand what I'm saying, and it bounces off of them like rubber bullets off of a steel wall.
Uh-huh.
What's going on there is they actually are operating from a different set of assumptions that you have yet to discern, and so the things that you think are obvious are out of bounds for them. Those things aren't real; they don't exist, and so they can't consider your argument until you deal with their underlying assumptions.
Brilliant insight from Dr. David Richardson today here on The Bottom Line. The book is called Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. We've got a link for the book up at thebottomlineshow.com. We're talking about the assumptions that form our opinions that can lead to either good conversations with people or sometimes conflict with people. How do we work through those? That's what we're talking about today here on The Bottom Line. Dr. David Richardson, my guest today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. I love the guests that we have on this program, but this was kind of a God thing for me, having heard an interview that you gave on another program that I actually do some work on, and having that conversation with Dr. Meg Meeker, I thought, I've got to talk to Dave about this, because this book, Transparent, I think can be life-transforming, especially for those of us in the body of Christ who are butting our head against the wall, there's that one person in our world, right? You're a parent, you know, you are parents, and your kid goes off to college, comes home, and all of a sudden you don't recognize them, and they don't, you know, they're kind of renouncing everything that you're doing, and you're thinking, how did they get to this point? Well, the book, Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You, whether people are dealing in a physical-only world and they don't want to take a spiritual world into account, or they're dealing in a non-physical, spiritual-only, and the physical doesn't really matter. Or then there's the integration of the two that allows us as Christians to say, you know, God is three, God is one, you know, there's spirit, but there's also soul. So yes, we live in a material world, but we're made for something different. This is something that I think, Dr. Richardson, especially for people who are in the Christian faith and looking to people outside the church and saying, why do I always argue? If I'm understanding you correctly, the onus now is on us to try to understand other people's assumptions once we figure our own out. Is that accurate?
Yes, rather than going to a person and having a conversation where you're trying to tell them what's true,
mm-hmm.
if you can help them to discover for themselves what is true, that is a much more powerful persuasion technique, and it becomes much more real in that person's life. And using the critical assumptions test in the book Transparent actually helps you have those kinds of conversations, because, you know, when somebody is talking about a moral issue of some kind, well, you could say, what are you assuming the definition of the word good is?
Mm-hmm.
When you say this is a good thing to do, what do you mean by that? And there's three ways that people answer the question. Good is whatever I decide it is. Mm-hmm. Good is whatever achieves the ideal. Or good is who God is in his person and his character. So how are you answering the question?
Yeah.
Because if you answer the first two ways, good is nothing more than what you prefer. There is nothing that is good for everybody. It's just good for you or good for us. And the same thing if it applies to the ideal. If it achieves the ideal, then it's a good thing. If it doesn't achieve the ideal, then it's not a good thing. And that can change moment by moment. But when you say good is who God is and his person and his character, Psalm 119:68 says the Lord is good and does good. So who he is and what he does is what we know to be good. That is something that applies to everybody. And so we can have an objective framework for having a discussion about anything that's moral. Otherwise, it's just the whim of the individual or the group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good at all. Good and evil just die. And so how do you have a conversation about anything moral based on those kinds of foundations? And so that can start helping a person discover the truth for themselves. When they do, then they can ask, well, then, what provides that when they discover
right.
that they don't have a foundation to have a moral discussion?
Mm-hmm.
What does provide that foundation? Well, this does.
Yeah.
And then you can begin talking about your faith.
Sure. And it gives you, you know, kind of a foundation to work from as well, not only asking the question, but then you can prepare and anticipate the next couple of steps, because once someone has to walk through this process, do the critical assumptions test on yourself, and then start looking at other people in different light, then you know when you ask one question, you're really going to wind up asking three or four, because these questions,
yes.
you know, there's a connection. Instead of just saying, do you agree with me or do you renounce the devil and all his works, you can actually have a, you know, to somebody, which is kind of, when you think about it, to somebody who deals in the physical only world, for example. That's a really silly question to ask, any more than putting up a sign that says John 3:16 at a football game. But if you don't know the Bible, then what does that mean? I mean, to anybody.
Sure.
You know, that's the issue. Dr. David Richardson, my guest today here on The Bottom Line. The book is called Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. The link is up at thebottomlineshow.com. I understand you have an app for this as well, too, and I want you to talk about that because, boy, you want to talk about meeting people where they are. This is an app-friendly world, isn't it?
It sure is. Well, you know, while I have, I guess, above average ability in the intellectual world, most people aren't intellectuals. And the great thing for me, you know, growing up, is that my dad was a truck driver. You know, I grew up in a single wide trailer house when I was a young kid.
Hmm.
And so I know everyday people, everyday language. And while I can carry on a conversation at 40,000 feet with the ivory tower guys, I'm just a regular guy that knows how to translate that stuff into language that everyday people can use. And, you know, nobody needs another apologetics book. There's enough of those out there.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't read them anyway because most people aren't intellectuals. And so how can I write a book for people who aren't intellectuals and make it usable? And that's what my aim was, is to make this practical. In fact, it's so practical, it's a phone app.
Mm.
The critical assumptions test is automated in the Transparent app, so that when you take it with you on your phone, you're reading something, you're watching something, or you're listening to something, you can actually figure out whether the message you're encountering is true or not based on its assumptions. And with a little practice, you can do it literally in 20 to 30 seconds. Mm. It's really not that hard.
Yeah, we've got the information for that and the book up at thebottomlineshow.com. Dr. Dave Richardson with me today here on the program. Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You is the book. Dave, in your work with Campus Crusade and later Crew, 30 years of ministry, and having a ministry, I'm thrilled to hear. I mean, I know that Campus Crusade has had a wonderful ministry outreach to campus groups, and there are lots of good campus ministries for students, but the fact that there was actually an outreach for faculty as well, too, I'm sure you saw a lot of changes on the faculty level in terms of these critical assumptions that faculty members, department heads, deans, provosts, things of that nature had as well. Have you had any kind of success with faculty members who have taken this critical assumptions test and said, wow? I mean, you mentioned earlier that there, you know, a teacher could say, hey, I'm going to, you know, teach differently because I didn't realize my biases were showing up so badly in the way I lectured. But can you give us a couple of examples that encourage us on the university level?
Sure. Well, there's one fellow that I've known for years. I wouldn't call him a committed Christian. I'd call him a militant Christian. He's not the kind of person that that really cares what you think about his faith. He'll talk about it when he thinks it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And has always done that. He's had a weekly Bible study on campus for over 30 years at a major research university here in the Southeast. But when I came to him and asked him, how does God inform what you do? not that you're a nice person because you're a Christian, but how does God contribute to knowledge in the thing that you're a leader or an expert at? And he would look at me with these wide eyes and says, you know, I really wish I knew, because, you know, all I do is I teach 18 weeks of calculus, you know, helping somebody figure out how to design a good airframe that maintains stability and doesn't fail as it's going through the air. And it's just a bunch of calculus. I can talk about God or not talk about God. I don't see that makes much difference. Mm-hmm. When I discovered the critical assumptions test and the power of assumptions in general, I told him, as if I could presume to know something about aerospace engineering, I said, give me your course notes. Uh-huh. let me look through your notes for you. Uh-huh. I'll do this for you. 3 weeks later, I came back to him and put it on his desk, and I said, of the 8 questions of the critical assumptions test, 6 of them apply to your calculus class.
Wow.
And here's how. And he went back through and he looked at it and his jaw hit the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then he changed his course and began teaching it as a part of the introduction to his course in aerospace engineering. I have another friend that I write about in the book by the name of Mark White, who was a chemical engineer. And Mark was a committed part of his church, sponsored campus organizations. But, you know, beyond that, he didn't know much about how that applied in his area of expertise. And after about 20 years in academia, this question kind of rattling around in the back of his head, it dawned on him one day that maybe God knows more about the chemistry than he does, because mm-hmm. God made the chemicals. And so maybe I ought to ask him about it.
Uh-huh.
And that line of thinking began to grow and brew in the back of his mind. And then one day it dawned on him what the problem was. And the problem was is that he was the director of his own research group, mm-hmm. which, of course, that's what every professor is. That's what he does, is, you know, he gets together a bunch of grad students and assistant professors, and together they work on a piece of research, and then they publish it as a group in peer-reviewed journals and conference papers.
Mm-hmm.
But one day he decided, you know, I think I need to step down as the principal investigator of my own research group and make Jesus Christ the principal investigator.
Good decision.
And he did that at a major university.
Wow.
And he would start the day every day with his grad students and others in the research group. He wasn't making them, but whoever would, they'd pray and commit the day to the Lord and mm-hmm. ask for his guidance and direction to help solve the problems and help them to better understand the chemistry so that they can achieve their goals as a research group.
Okay.
Not a lot changed during the first year, but within about 12 months, they started making discoveries that nobody had ever made before in chemical engineering. And he actually gave, as a good engineer would, he gave me the data to prove what had happened with his career as a result of making Jesus the principal investigator for his research group. His conference and publication rate went way up. His funding rate for his research group increased 10 times from what it was in the early years. And he gave me permission to put the charts in the book. And so they're actually in the last chapter of the book, where you can actually see the difference that it made when Jesus became the principal investigator of a chemical engineers research group. He eventually was approached by the search committee from another major research university, asking him to be the director of their school of chemical engineering. And they said, no, we're not asking you to apply.
Yeah.
We know who you are, and we want you.
Will you
please take the job?
Yeah.
We just want you.
Uh-huh.
And so he did. He took the job, and that's where he finished his career. And he says, I've done everything professionally that I've wanted to do, but the reason I'm going there is, one, to start a faculty ministry at that school, because they don't have one, like I learned to do here, mm-hmm. and also to disciple young chemical engineers in how to make Jesus the principal investigator of the research. When was the last time you heard chemical engineering and discipleship in the same phrase?
I think that's the first time I've ever heard it, and I'm grateful that you shared it, Dr. David Richards. Said this is such an exciting concept. If you're just joining the program, go back to thebottomlineshow.com, get the podcast of this conversation, and you can find information about the book there as well. Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. The link is up at thebottomlineshow.com. There's information about the app, too. Dr. David Richardson with the Assumptions Institute, thank you for this work. I know it was a labor of love in many regards, but it took a long time to come up with this research and how it is literally transforming lives, not just on the college campuses, but for Christians worldwide and for helping to relate to people who are outside of our faith as well, too. What assumptions are driving those beliefs? Thanks, Dr. Richardson, for being with me today here on the program.
Roger, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.